Hey, this is Joe Sanfilippo. You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Thanks for tuning in to Your Remote Control here on the GeekCast Radio Network. I'm your announcer, Optimus Solo, and on today's episode, join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the RC crew as they talk TV in the modern era. That's right, for TV talk all the time, stop channel surfing and let us take over your remote control.
People tend to do desperate things when they learn about their other versions.
Yes, JK, that's right. Or should I say Howard, desperate things with other versions. Hello, everyone. This is TFG1 Mike from the GeekCast Radio Network and here on Remote Control. If you noticed, we recorded this episode back in April of 2018, and it's not coming out until June. Sorry about that. But please listen to myself and DJ Valentine from Simplistic Reviews talking about Starz's new series, Counterpart, the 9th and 10th episodes of Season 1. These are the two-parter Season 1 finale for that show, and we cannot wait until Season 2 happens, whenever that may be.
Hi, Howard.
Hello, and welcome to Remote Control. Thank you to our new announcer, Optimus Solo. He is our new announcer here on the podcast. I am, of course, TFG1 Mike. Joining me once again this week is DJ Valentine from Simplistic Reviews. Hello, sir.
Guten Tag from other Germany. Hello.
Hey, how are you doing? We're just going to close the door on you. We're just going to block your side off.
We're on other Germany. Hello, we are friends.
We're just going to leave you in the middle and wait for you to die.
Let me cross border. It's good.
We do not claim that body.
Claim me. It's good to claim.
It's no claiming. Oh, God, folks. So, it's been a while. Obviously, you heard us do, you heard DJ, myself, and Gen Fusion do the Broadcast Networks episode a couple weeks ago or whenever it was. But it has been a while since DJ and I talked episodes 7 and 8 of Starz' series Counterpart. We're here to talk about No Man's Land Part 1 and 2. This is episode 9 and 10 of Season 1 of Counterpart. It is supposedly getting a second season. Supposedly filming has started already. If not, it's starting soon. Counterpart. Holy crap.
Counterpart hyphen holy crap.
Exactly.
Somewhere along the line, Counterpart for me stopped being the Howard Silk show.
Yeah.
And turned into the Peter Quayle show.
Yeah.
The stuff with his wife and his father-in-law, Richard Schiff, and his motivations got so interesting to me. I'd be like watching it and I'm like, oh yeah, isn't this supposed to be Oscar winner J.K. Simmons supposed to like in control of this show? He hasn't been on camera for like, 25 minutes.
I know. Like last time when we talked about Love the Lies, episode 8, where we had the face-off in the interface room with the two of them, I was like, oh cool, awesome, great. And I expected more and more of that. This is sad. I actually expected both Howards to go out guns blazing.
Well, the one of them had a bloodlust, and it's the one you didn't think.
Yep. Exactly. We're going to start with part one here. Howard Prime is still eluding capture from Aldridge. Quayle is trying to murder him.
Quayle is dumb.
Yeah, Quayle is like, I don't understand.
It seems like he keeps making all the wrong decisions, but it keeps working out for him. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, anybody else would do the things Quayle would do and be dead already. Be like, dead. Every mistake he's made, he's like, he's is he trusting his wife? And then... Mm-hmm. he's picking his wife over the place he's working for. This should get him killed. But it doesn't. It seems to work out for him. I don't understand. He's pulling guns on Howard. It's just like, what? You should be dead.
Yeah, you no should way be dead.
Making it out of your life. But he does. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
But yeah, he. I mean, props to the I can't remember his name. The actor who's been playing him, because from the beginning of this show, looking back at the first episode, I never thought this character would be as big of a deal as he is now.
Yeah, I never
thought he was going to be a throwaway, and yeah, he's not. He's kind of like turning into. I mean, I guess it's a testament to the show that any one of these characters can kind of take the steering wheel for a while, and you're interested still. Baldwin can take the steering wheel. Howard's wife can take the steering wheel. Quayle can take the steering wheel. I'm still invested. Claire can take the steering wheel. I'm still invested in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, dude. It's just... Yeah, Quayle ends up in a really strange place by the end of this whole thing, but...
A strange... Because at first, he seems like he's making this up, in the immortal words of Indiana Jones. He's making this up as he goes along, and it just keeps working out. It's like, wait, is he unstable? Is he causing an accident? But it seems like the accident that he caused gives him deniability of the other thing that he's connected to. It's like, this guy, he's a slippery one, but I would give him more props, I think, if it was on purpose. But I just think he keeps stumbling into good things. Things just keep working out for him. Every time you think he's screwed or this is the end of the line for Quayle, because I thought at the end of episode 9, that was it. I thought something, there's a car following them, he's drunk. I was like, okay, this must be the end of this character. And then by 10, you're like, wait, what? What? He's like, everybody's thanking him? I was like, what? This guy's a piece of crap. What's going on here?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I thought disliking Aldrich for the longest time would be the thing, but no, it's more so at this point Quayle, because Quayle is just...
You're not a Quayle fan, are you?
Not anymore. Like, this guy just won't go away.
Like, he's the bad penny. He's the bad penny.
Yeah.
Then Aldrich, I don't know, something about it. Maybe I give it to the actor's performance. Something about him near these last two episodes maybe kind of, I don't say feel for him, where I was kind of like, this guy was kind of not a, I mean, he was a douche, but he wasn't like, you know, I think he had good reason to be the way he was. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
He wasn't like a mustache twirling villain. He was just doing his job, essentially. Though that job may lead sometimes to people getting murked. But that he kind of turns into a pawn near the end. And I was kind of like, I don't say I feel bad for him. I was just kind of like, oh, well, okay. There you go.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good at all. No. Like, everything with this show is like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Give us answers. Give us answers. Give us answers.
Tell me something. Tell me something.
Exactly. Why won't you tell me something? It's like they're fire marshal billing this place all the way to, you know, in living color hell.
How old?
10. He would have been 10.
Alexander Pope bribed you with safe passage as that one went on. Some kind of a switcher. He promised you could visit the other side and see your living son. I can't protect you, Casper, if you don't tell me who they are.
Protect me?
Don't you understand what they do to anyone who gets in their way? The other you, she tried, you know. Reached out to one of ours months ago. A warning that people were coming over. I took it to Pope. You know what he did? Had her run down. Car accident. That's how far his reach goes.
That accident? That was Pope? That's why she's in the hospital, Pope? And you? You trade human lives for some false hope of a second chance? That is not your world over there. That little boy over there is not yours. Do you understand?
How would stop?
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download this show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
I just want to go home. I didn't want to come here. I came because I thought I was doing the right thing. And then I saw what he had, and I just... I am not him.
I know, Howard. But here's the thing. From where I stand, you two are completely alike.
Take him to Echo.
Are you sure you want to do that?
Tell him I don't ever want to see this bastard again.
Well, we kind of, if we're bleeding into episode 10, we kind of got what we, well, at least I wanted. I wanted kind of a, spoiler alert, I guess, a Baldwin-Howard team-up, and we kind of got that a little, though it wasn't the Howard I thought that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Was going to team up with, but it was still freaking awesome. I wanted more of that, even though it was like maybe 20 seconds of it, but I thought it was really cool, and it, I think I sometimes forget how deadly Baldwin is because she is so like emotionally raw and like unstable, and then she's put in a situation where she has to kill her way out of a situation, and she's just murking dudes.
she's just like shooting them left and right. Like, she'll shoot them once in the leg, come up and shoot them in the head. Like, wow.
And you don't even, like, fear for her life. She's just like, it's like nothing to her. Killing somebody. Like, when she killed the doppelganger, or I guess this Earth's, the one the assassin pretended to be, who was stuck in the middle. I mean, she kills that guy, and I didn't even know. I had to, like, rewind. How did she just kill that guy? Oh, my God. She garroted him to the point where she didn't even have to hold it. That's horrible. Yeah, she's a dyed-in-the-wool killer. I give her that. But then you see these scenes where she's with the coffee shop girl, and it's almost like she's a child. She can't, like, she doesn't know what to do with her emotions. She can't hide them with her or whatever. I think it's a really good performance by that actress.
Oh, absolutely. And the whole thing, I think it was it's in episode 9. I forget it. These two episodes basically run together, obviously.
Like one
but
movie,
yeah, think. Essentially. But like when they're in the clothing store, and the other woman comes in, like, "Oh, Nadia, you're mistaken. I'm not her. I'm not them." Like, what? Have we seen that woman before? I don't remember that. Like, I don't remember the other Nadia. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But damn, this show. Like, we got the Howard Prime and Baldwin team up, which was cool as hell, but we still have no answers of who's really in charge of all, because Pope's dead.
Yeah.
Good Howard killed Pope. I mean, like,
I want to say it came out of nowhere, but I kind of saw it like he was gonna like kind of snap on him. I thought he was just gonna like beat the shit out of him. Sorry, but when he killed him, I'm like, oh man, what does this leave Good Howard?
Yeah, really.
There's got to be a repercussion to this. Pope is pretty well connected. I thought Howard was screwed that way.
Yeah.
But then he gets screwed a different way where I didn't understand why. What's the name of Howard's wife's, I guess, boyfriend, husband? I forget his name.
The black guy, Ian?
Yeah.
Ian.
Yeah. He might be the villain of the show to me because he makes these decisions where it's just like they're out of spite or jealousy or almost. There was like a moment there in episode 9 where I thought that he was actually like coming around to being okay, let's focus on something more important than a pissing contest with a guy who looks like the guy I hate. Because essentially what it was.
That's essentially what it was, yeah. And it's just so crazy. Like, Howard Prime's whole thing of, oh, I'm getting out of town and this, that, and whatever else. And, like, he goes to his daughter's place and leaves her. Was it Prime or was it Good Howard? Was it Bad Howard or Good Howard that went to the daughter's place? Because normally it would have been Howard.
I think it's Good Howard.
Okay, I was going to say, because, yeah, Good Howard got screwed the hell out of. Like, he got royally screwed. They essentially Man in the Iron masked him, and that's not good, folks. For anyone that doesn't know what Man in the Iron masked him means, kids, go back to the 90s. Go back to, oh my God. Please tell me I am not right when I reveal this. I swear to God, I'm going to feel so old if I'm right about this. But yeah, I will explain Man in the Iron mask in a moment. What else did you like about the two-parter here?
Again, other than the Baldwin stuff, the conversation between, I guess the meeting between both I don't even know what to call this company or job or political, whatever it is that Richard Schiff and Peter Quayle work for and Howard's wife work for, their conversations, their joint conversations with the quote unquote people upstairs. It was so weird.
It was super weird.
It comes out, and I'm just like, because first they bring in the briefcase, and I'm like, is this a bomb? What is going on? And they bring out this device. It was so like Twilight Zone-y, almost Cronenberg-esque. I was just like, what is happening? But I loved it because it was just like, this is insanity.
Yeah.
And then like, now I just want to know, who are these people upstairs? They almost treat them like deities, because they don't want to speak out of turn or what. Who are these people? What happened to where there's this weird structure of, I guess, government, where the people in charge talk to the higher ups through some kind of Chronicles of Riddick scanning device? I don't know what else to call it. But it was great. I loved the weirdness of it. It was very weird.
Yeah. If they were in a white room with a little girl or a big black cat, I would think, when's Angel and Spike going to show up?
The last time I felt this weirded out by a scene, and I always go back to Mr. Robot, was when Angela and Mr. Robot is in a room, White Rose's room, and this little girl is kind of like asking her these weird questions. And you're just watching it going, what is going on? And when this was happening on Counterpart, I'm just like, what is going on?
It's and so crazy. And at the end
of the situation, Peter Quayle is just like, hey, Peter, great job. What?
He's the one married to the problem.
and the fact that Claire says this is only the beginning, their plot... It left more, because at first I'm like, that's it? That's their plan was just to shoot up this government whatever building or this, I was calling it a diplomatic hub. Mm-hmm. That was it? But then Claire says it's only the beginning. I'm like, what are you guys, what is the plan here? It seems like we're still so in dark of what these guys are going to do. And especially now that Pope is gone, well, it seems like I thought he was the ringleader of this whole plot to mess up our Earth or Earth Prime or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what's going to happen now. Does that make Claire the de facto leader of this whole operation? Who does Claire answer to now?
Yeah, really. And, you know, I don't know. Like, yeah, the whole structure is just done. I don't know. It's just so crazy.
And now I'm hearing rumors of, well, I mean, this show is replete with, like, speculation and rumors, just makes it a good show where you can just, like, speculate on things. Mm. Some people are saying online that, what is the name of Howard's wife?
Emily.
That Emily switched
mm-hmm.
before the show started. So the Emily from the other Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Is the one that was actually married to Bad Howard, and that's why he's so whatchamacallit to her. I've heard this rumor. I think I'm kind of like, I have to go back and, like, something about it seems like there's something missing here. Like, that, if that's the case, I don't know. The fact that we have no idea still, we're one season in, we have way more questions than answers at the end.
Yeah,
I guess it's a good thing. I mean, closure was not one of the things that we were given at the end of this season.
No, we're left with more questions. Like, who's in charge of this? Why are why is there a neutral zone in the crossing? Why is there this? Who actually split the world, or how did the world split into two, kind of two sides? And, like,
see, I thought that what was going to happen when the terrorist guy got to the neutral, I thought he was going to blow himself up or something.
Yeah.
And cause some kind of... because we're still not... I have to make sure and double check. It seems like only a select people from both Earths know there's two Earths. Or is
right,
it,
yes.
Is it well known that there's two Earths?
Or
is
no, it it's... Earth? Well, it's the same Earth. It's just two different sides. It's two different realities, I guess. But it's the same planet. It's not like they're... it's not like they're tesseracting around the galaxy,
right? No. It seems like, from what I gathered, it's like the number eight or an infinity symbol, where there is an Earth and another Earth, and they're connected by this tunnel.
Mm.
So I'm assuming, but if that's the case, that's why I thought when the guy was in the neutral zone, he was going to, like, expose the fact of this to everyone that I get.
Yeah,
that not know. But then he just kind of, like, lays there to see. It was more of a political kind of actual diplomatic struggle on what to do with the guy. I'm like, well, just leave him.
Yeah, really, just leave him. Let him die. And then when they finally go, like, somebody finally gets the gumption up without having given an order or anything, like, oh, I'm just going to go see. And the guy's dead. And they're like, oh, my God, he went down there. You're not supposed to be down there. Oh, my God, the devil's going to come after us now. Ah! So, going back to Man in the Iron masking between the two Howards, I'm so old. 20 years ago, as of March 13th this year, Man in the Iron Mask was released with Leo DiCaprio and whoever the hell else is in it. Jeremy Irons, John Malkovich, Gerard Depardieu.
John Malkovich, who has to enunciate
everything,
single syllable. He said.
Yeah, he played Athos.
Athos.
Yeah, I don't care what anyone says. I like that performance, but the best Athos in the last 20 years, Kiefer Sutherland in Disney's version.
Disney's. Three Musketeers. You gotta have the Disney guy. Disney's The Three Musketeers. But yeah, they at the end of this season, we're led to see that Good Howard just gets screwed over. And it seems like this whole season was just one long screwing of Good Howard. Where it's like, yeah, thank you for, I mean, we're gonna pull you in a situation and you're gonna get kicked out of your reality. And then you're gonna get put in a room by a guy who's doing it. This is what pissed me off. Why? Because he looks like the guy he doesn't like, and he knows he's not the same guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, if he didn't know, I could get it.
Yeah, but, like, but he knows.
Why are you punishing this? What did this guy do to you? He didn't do anything. I guess he's doing it out of jealousy because Emily has feelings for him.
Yeah.
But I mean, it just sent him back to the other freaking reality. If you have a problem with it, I didn't get that part.
But then you'd have two Howards in the same reality because Howard what Prime
based reality. He'd be like, "Ain't my reality? Screw him."
Well, yeah, but like Howard Prime, pretty much like you're the one that said this. Oh, what happens if one of them goes to the other's reality and likes it and wants to stay? Howard Prime wanted to stay, and he ended up like Howard Prime ends as a free man, going to see his quote unquote wife and giving flowers to the nurses this time around, like he didn't last time or the first time he was there, and this, that, and the other, like, and reading to her, and then holy shit, she woke up. It's like,
so essentially, good Howard has become a murderer,
yeah,
and bad Howard has become a doting husband.
Yeah.
There we go.
Dude, I have no idea. Honestly, I have no clue whatsoever anymore.
Wait, let me ask you a question. Is there a Pope on good Howard's side?
That's a good question. I assume so, but I don't know. And I don't know if he would be the same type of Alexander Pope that was on the other side.
Is there a Peter Quayle on the other side?
Oh, no!
I'm trying to think of people we have not seen duplicates of. We haven't seen Emily's boyfriend jerk guy on this side. Who haven't we not seen duplicates of? We've seen duplicates of Baldwin.
Yeah.
We've seen duplicates of Howard.
Yeah,
we've seen duplicates of the a lot of the terrorists. Claire, we're just missing a couple. I think that's where the second thing's gonna go, because who are these people? Maybe these are the end games, because essentially, if Peter Quayle is now the man in charge, apparently, well, maybe they won't even need to do any duplicate because Claire has him wrapped around her finger for some freaking reason. So they wouldn't need. I was like, well, maybe they'd just eliminate the Peter from good Howard's side and replace him with the Peter from their side. But they don't even need to do that because for some reason he's helping Claire out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Other than the fact that I guess because she's the mother of his child, but I mean that's a weak story reason. It might be a irrational, realistic reason. This is a weak story reason for me.
Yeah, it's just crazy. So many things.
So many questions. Too many questions.
Too many questions.
With the Riddler at the end of Batman Forever.
Oh God, no!
Melted, and you're just like, so many questions. So many questions.
Stop. It's just so bad.
DCN, the superhero webcomic. DCN's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, drama, mayhem, and more, read it now at DCN.com. DASIEN.com. And for the new DCN podcast, go to patreon.com/DCN.
We need to come to an understanding.
Believe me, I would get the hell out of here if I could, but circumstances, it seems, compel me to stay. I assume this mole hunt will continue, escalate.
Yeah. It put me in charge of it.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, listen. We need to call a truce. There's a woman in the hospital. It means a great deal to me. So I give you my word. Nobody finds out about your wife. As long as nothing happens to mine.
Your wife?
You know what I mean. See you at the office, I guess.
What do you think is going to happen next season? What is your guess?
I'm not even sure. I really have no clue.
Because Emily's going to be asking where the hell Good Howard is, I'm assuming.
Yeah, she's going to... Well, just like Emily Prime knew that Howard Alpha wasn't her Howard, like, knew that he wasn't the jackass that she married, like, Emily Alpha is going to know that Howard Prime... I mean, she already knows. Well, she already does know, but, like, yeah. She's going to wonder about, where's my real husband? Where's the other you? Where's this? Where's that? Like, as long as we get, like, at least 10 minutes per episode of all double JK, I don't care. Like, getting bad Howard to break good Howard out of the room or whatever. Oh, God.
Well, they kind of left on terms of, I don't need to ever see you again. After that interaction in the Bad Howard is not going to be. It seemed like, at least that's how it felt like to me. Where Bad Howard was like, "All right, you want to be on my side? You're on your own. I ain't going to help you. Whatever. I don't care." Because apparently, I'm in love with your wife, and you're in love with my wife. Unless they were actually switched, and they were still in love with each other's wife. It seems like the wife that he has that Bad Howard has on Good Howard's side isn't the drug addict Howard. It's a drug addict Emily. It's the one that he can kind of like reconcile with. And the Emily on the bad Howard side is the one with the good Howard can reconcile with. So it is a weird thing going on here with them and their wives. It's weird.
Yeah, it really, really is. It's crazy. But this show just... Wow. Like... I don't even know.
Where's Baldwin going with all that money?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, is she going to go back to her side? Was she trying to go back to her side? I couldn't remember if she was... I know she wanted to get paid, but I couldn't remember if she wanted to... It seemed like she wants to stay on this side, but it's kind of bad for her because she's dead on this our Earth side. So like, with all that money, she can fix her face and change her look, I guess.
I don't know. I'm like stumped, honestly. Like, no clue how that's gonna work out. Overall, I love the final two episodes. Wasn't exactly where I thought it was gonna lead. I don't know where I thought it was gonna lead, but I thought it was gonna be like you said, like have this guy blow up a bomb and basically have it be a San Andreas fault of
something bigger than it was.
Exactly. Like that's like when they started shooting up the place, trying to get downstairs, I'm like, oh yay, finally some action. Like the last time I saw this is when Bad Howard went into a car and blew people up, shot silent bullets into people's heads. Like
shouldn't they be trying to go upstairs and find out who the hell
why are you trying to get to the other side of the reality? Like, no, just try to go to the fifth floor or the seventh floor or whatever floor you're supposed to be going. Like, I know the fourth floor is where they were or that's what they said, but like, fresh hell, people.
I guess, I mean, the fact that they caused this kind of international incident is what the purpose of their attack was.
Yeah.
But it's like the game that they keep referencing in every opening episode. It's a long game. It's a long it's a long play. It's not the quick, because on the surface it's like, I was watching, I'm like, this can't be their plan. This whole thing where they're filing duplicates and they're sitting in the thing just to get guns to go in the thing. Guys, you could have just filled a car with bombs and drove it into the building. This is all you're planning. So there must have been something else that they wanted to do. This whole situation of getting them to have the meeting with the higher ups, and Claire's, you know, statement of this is only the beginning. It's just kind of like, okay, then what the hell are you guys leading up to?
Yeah, exactly. Because I have no clue what the hell they're leading up to. I mean, I'm glad that I don't have a clue what they're leading up to, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know. Like, come on, people.
So how long do you think we got to wait till season two? Probably a year?
Well, this one started in, what, January?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to definitely keep my eye out for various, you know, things and whatever to make sure, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be probably a year.
J.K. Which, Simmons is not like the most non-busy person in the world. He doesn't movie a day.
Well, you know, got to make that money, right?
Did he survive? I can't remember The Accountant if he survives, but if he does, I'm pretty sure they're going to be making a sequel to that, and then if this Justice League crap ever fixes itself, he's Commissioner Gordon. He's got a lot on his plate, that guy. So that might be they might delay shooting for a while. But you're saying they're shooting now, so maybe they.
That's what I've read. I've read that shooting has begun because they're expanding the cast for the second season. That's
expanded cast. That's like 40 people. I got Quail. I got Emily. I got her boyfriend. I got Baldwin. I got Baldwin's lover. I got Baldwin's other lover. I got. Dude, slow down with this cast. Slow, smaller. Shit's coming up my left ear. I got this crazy person. I got Aldrich over there. The other, this hitman. It's so many people. So many people.
Yes, so many people. Oh, boy. Dude, I'm not even sure. I could not tell you. I want to be able to tell you, but I have no clue. But no, Counterpart was a great first season. Absolutely love it. Like we said in the beginning, the 10 episode arc thing worked. You know, J.K. Simmons, obviously amazing. As always.
It's still good. I mean,
yeah.
J.K. Simmons is, you know, the king.
J.K. Simmons, I mean.
I was worried that it would just be him, and every time he leaves the screen, you'd be bored. But that never really happened. I mean, my favorite episode of the season is still the one with Claire in the school. So, and that's just her, really. And I don't think J.K.'s in that episode, if I recall. So,
yeah. Probably not. But yeah. My favorite scene of the season would probably have to be, you know, him in the car. I mean, come on.
Oh, that was
that was an awesome scene.
About dopeness. That's pretty dope.
Yeah, because, like, you know, he's even got the earplugs and everything beforehand. It's like
the car and everything leading to the car where he goes,
exactly.
I just want you to know I'm not armed. Just to show you, I'm about to kill all your boys, but just so you know, I'm not armed.
Yep. It's absolutely just crazy good.
And it's different. I mean, people always say, oh, everything is the same. Everything is rebooted. But this is a different show. Though it takes aspects of other things you might have seen, it just everything you think you've seen, it kind of makes a little interesting twist on it. It's a different show than you're used to. You add a sci-fi element to a spy show, good luck finding a bunch of those on TV.
Not unless you want to talk to Sheldon Cooper about sci-fi not picking up alphas.
Stop talking about frickin' Sheldon.
You leave Sheldon alone.
Don't get me started on the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, boy, I know exactly what DJ and I are doing next.
Oh, please. You don't want me on that show. I I will burn the show to the ground.
I kind of do at this point now.
Counterpart the first season, we have a 0 to 5 rating scale with half points here at the GCRN. The season, there were low points, but it didn't matter because there were low and slow points, but it really didn't matter because that was part of the show. So for me, I'd probably give it a 4, 4.5.
Yeah, I think I'm right with you. I think I'd say a 4. I mean, there's, I think the way it ended was kind of for us to be probably waiting a year wasn't as satisfying. I mean, it's kind of a cliffhanger, but I mean, man. You need to answer at least a little bit more of these questions because I didn't leave with any bit of satisfaction, like zero. I'm just kind of like, what's next? What's next? I mean, certain shows will kind of leave you on a cliffhanger, but at least they'll close off a storyline. All these storylines are still open. There's like nothing that's ended. Claire's terrorist attack is still happening. JK's still over there. JK's still over there. Emily's still over there. Emily's still over there. It's like there's no sum up. I guess the only thing I really closed was Pope because his head is all over the floor. But that was about it.
Yeah.
Unless there's another Pope and it's wide open.
Yeah, really, right? I don't know. If anyone wants to check this series out, please do so. It is well worth the price of admission to get Stars, and most cable packages sometimes will say, oh, you can get Stars free for 3 months or whatever. It's very much worth it, folks.
Binge
it. Really is. Yeah, binge it. Absolutely. So I think that's going to do it for us. I know this is kind of a quick episode with 2 episodes of the show, but there was just so much going on and so much that was frankly left on, like, I have no answers to any questions. What I don't even know what my questions would be, but whatever they are, they were not answered whatsoever.
Where's Baldwin going?
Yes, is there exactly.
Hope. Where's J.K. Simmons? Where's the other J.K.? Nothing
answered. Yep, nope. They left it all out there, folks. Left it all out there. And, yeah, no. So that's going to do it for us here on Remote Control. I am still working on what's going to be going on for our summer content. I have planned the Summer of Superheroes, so I don't know. It may go well, it may not go well, but, you know, power, courage, speed, heart, they have it all, and they're all right here. Yeah, that was from a CW video that I cannot find now. Somebody please explain to me how a video I liked on YouTube is now a quote-unquote private video. Like, I get it. People can change the settings or whatever. But, like, I don't know. I don't even know what the damn video was. Like, anyway. Makes no sense. No sense at all. Where can the people find you online, sir?
SimplicityReviews.net. You can find me on Twitter at me personally at TryingToBeDJV. Our show's the Simplicity Reviews podcast Twitter handle is at Simple Tweeters, and search for Simplicity Reviews podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podbean, all that good stuff.
Awesome. I'm at TFG and Mike on Twitter. Head on over to GeekCastRadio.com for this and all of our other content. You can follow at GeekCastRadio on Twitter. You can find Remote Control on Facebook, so we have a Facebook page now. Yay! Really, really bad Kermit impression. Yay!
Where's Steve and Steve? Where's Phillips at? Get him over here.
Yeah, exactly. between Steve and my buddy Neil. Oh my God, the two of them to get like, it's like dueling Kermits. Kermit off. Piggy won't know which one is the real one. So, we're gonna catch you next time here, folks, on Remote Control.
You've been tuned in to Remote Control, the GeekCast Radio Network's modern TV podcast. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the RCTV crew next time for a new modern TV topic. I'm your announcer, Optimus Solo, and remember to think of us the next time you pick up the remote control.